Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures concerning today's message. And we want to read the first book or the first scripture, which is Matthew chapter 15, verse 10 to 20. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10 to 20. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Wow. Let's continue. "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be what? Uprooted." So you follow me. It's going to be a very interesting time today. "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed a man come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." The last verse. "These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man." Hallelujah. Second reading, John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. The gospel according to John. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" The last verse. "But this is spoken concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Last reading, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. We are all reading together. Are we ready, church? Let's read together. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought." I can't hear you. Can we take it again? "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Now we take the last part again. "You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." That word waters, they also stand for what? Rivers. Rivers. Other translation calls it rivers. Hallelujah. "It pleases the Lord that we still continue on the matter of are thou anointed, and we are still on the teachings or on the sub-series streams of the earth anointing." A quick recap on this very subject matter. And before the quick recap, let's look at the title for today's message. Today's message is titled Rivers of Living Water. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Now, the streams of the anointing from the first introduction, which was the first message we looked at, we establish the fact that the objective of the Godhead is to help us relate with them so much such that they have themselves manifest in types and forms. And we found out that the Holy Spirit do manifest himself in a type or form of what? A river. And we established that concept from the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 10, right? And then Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1 to 7. And we are able to come to the understanding that the manifestation of this river do not only stay within the life of the believer, but it flows out of the believer, using the Garden of Eden as what? A representation of the concept. Do you all follow to that point? Then the following week, in which is the second message, we looked at channels of what? Our spirit. And to establish that, we said that if the Holy Spirit has defined his work out of the believer, the outward work of the believer, in a form of what? A river. Then it means that we must understand the concept of channel, because rivers exist on the principles of what? Channels. Without a channel, there cannot be what? A river. So if the Holy Spirit do represent his outward manifestation from the believer as rivers, then it means that there are channels through which it runs through. And from our findings, we found out that there are four major channels that the Holy Spirit runs out of us. The outflow, not the dot, the inflow, I mean the outflow of the Holy Spirit. One of the channels is what? The prophetic what? Utterance. We have the channels of all the bowels of what? Mercies. We have the channel of what? The governmental authority or the governmental rulership, which is dominion. Are we all there? So we looked at the concept of the Holy Spirit's outward manifestation as a river. We have also established the point that this river flows throughout certain channels. Now, what are these rivers? Now, let's look at what the rivers are. So today, we are looking at the rivers that are product of what? The living what? Water. Hallelujah. So I hope you have been able to follow me very well with regards to the recap. Now, let's move into today's message. Now, I want to begin today's message on a very critical point as God's perspective of how things are judged and valued. Now, the point I want to start with is that there is a strong relationship between the true nature of a man as a result of what comes out of him. And one of the reason why we say this is in the book of Matthew chapter 10, which we read, verse 10. We saw that Jesus was dealing with an ideology that has been sown in the minds of the people of Israel, the Jewish at that time, which is not of God. Can we go to that very chapter? Matthew chapter 15 verse 10. And when he had called on the multitude to himself, he said to them that hear and understand. Listen to what he said. He said hear and what? Understand. Means that they had a different understanding, or there is a confusion, or there is a communique that is not giving clarity. So he wants to correct it. What did he say? Verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. Now why did Jesus make this statement? In previous reading, you find out that Jesus' disciples were eating without washing their hand. And the traditions of the Jews forbid it, that a man will not wash his hand, not because of the principles of hygiene, but they have an idea that if you do not wash your hand and you eat, you have defiled yourself. This defile means that you have what? Stained, or you have corrupted yourself. It also defines that it is more or less seen as a sin, a taboo. Are you following me? Now, Jesus said that, so these people have hold on to this tradition. So they believe that their purity and their holiness is connected to how things get into themselves and not defiling themselves. Then Jesus said, no, that is wrong. This ideology is not true. Now, read the verse 11. You understand why you know that this is not from God. Verse 12. Then his disciples came to him and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you saying this thing? Now, who are the Pharisees? Pharisees are the teachers of the Jewish people. They are the ones who are trusted with the revelations and the knowledge of what? The scriptures. Now, you hear that Paul said, I am the Pharisees of the Pharisees. Means that he's the teacher of what? The teachers. So, these are the people who establish doctrine and interpret the scripture to them. Now, Jesus has come to deal with one of their key ideology. That their concept of holiness or purity, which they stand on, that it has to do with the things that goes into you. Jesus has come to kill that ideology. And they were offended. And then Jesus interpreted this in the verse 13, saying that, but he answered and said, every plant. Now, do you get it? Talking about idea. Every belief. Every kind of social orientation or thinking or thought that is not planted by my Father shall be what? Uprooted. So Jesus was trying to uproot a thinking pattern and the concept or the perception that the people have about what defiles them. Now he continues to teach from the verse 18 to 20 to let the people know what, because Peter came and said, what you said, we don't understand. You know, and Jesus was surprised because it was a simple sentence that what defiles a man is not what goes into him, but what comes out of him. Then Peter said, this thing we have learned from ages, even our forefathers has practiced. Well, why would Jesus come and say such a thing? So you, Jesus, we believe you, but explain. Though Jesus saw it to be a very simple thing to be understood, Peter made it clear that they really don't get him. You've said it, but we don't understand you, so you make it, speak in plain language to us. Now, Jesus came to teach or explain the concept here. Now, let's read. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from what? The heart. And they defile what? A man. So, what is the point here? The point that Jesus was making here that from God's perspective, are you with me? From God's perspective, a man is already defiled in the sight of God according to the condition of his heart and not his act. Are you following me? So before God, your state or your nature, as I said, the point I said that there is a relationship between the true nature of a man and what comes out of him, is because before God, the condition of your heart, it tells whether you are defiled or you are pure. So in Matthew chapter 5, when he was teaching the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the what? Pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. So the purity of the heart, like the people who can see God, the people who have relationship, people who fellowship with God, what brings people, what cleanses you to come before God is not what you touch. As the priest who customary is, you know, those days the high priest cannot touch dead people, all those kinds of people, else it will defile him. Now, Jesus is saying that is not the kingdom principle. Now, the kingdom that I'm introducing to you, or from God's perspective, the condition of the heart is what defiles you, not your act. So, you see, when people say that, nyamesum awakumem, this is where the point is. That the condition of your heart is God looks at. And the truth of the matter is that the condition of your heart is not different from your act. Now, let's read. Continue verse 19. Listen to what he said. Now, so when people say do otherwise and say that the conditions of their heart is different from what they do, then they are lying to themselves. Now, today, I'm going to really help you. It is connected to the streams of the anointing. So you follow me. I know you have heard of these things over and over. That, let me use the tree word, because the tree word carries the weight. So you can't judge me by what I do, but it is my heart. Now listen to what Jesus himself said. First, he said that what befalls a man is what comes out of his heart. Now listen to what he said that comes out of the heart. For out of the heart proceeds what? Evil thought. He didn't say that evil thought came from what you see. So you see, you can see things, but for it to become an evil thought, it must be the heart who bring it out. Can we continue? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So if somebody stands here and tells you that even though I can fornicate, but in my heart I am pure, Jesus said that you are a Pharisee. You are a hypocrite. You are a blind who is either led by a blind, or you, the blind, is leading a blind. And you are going to fall into what? A ditch. Because in the sight of God, the condition of your heart is what he looks at, as whether you are being defiled or not defiled. And it is that which comes out as what? Fornication. So if you fornicate, it is your heart. You fornicate in your heart first. The heart is not. See, so God does not judge a man by his act. On judgment day, let's be honest to ourselves. Let's be very careful with our heart. Let me continue. It has not to do with, but it's very important with the point, the foundation I'm laying. Are we on the same page? On judgment day,
the questions you answer will not be what we did. It will be more of what was in our heart. Now, if you want to understand the concept of the heart, go and listen to the message I preach under the value system, Tested Heart. The value system, I preached a message on the tested heart, which gave detailed description of the heart as the inner man. Do you remember that? So I will not go there. I'm not talking much about it. So Jesus just said to them that you fornicate, not because of what? So it is not when you touch the woman as a Pharisee or whatever that makes you a sinner. The idea, that thought that you have conceived, the minyana, me prano, you have fornicated. So you can't tell me, so that we have been saying that our worship or our Christianity is a thing of the heart. God is saying that when it's indeed of the heart, it will, if these things will not manifest out of what? You. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we understand that. This is the reason I'm saying it, because it's very important that we understand that God's model of assessment is very opposite to how the world or man draws assessment. And God drew this clear in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, the verse 6 and 7. You remember that the prophet Samuel, with all his prophetic dimension, missed who God has chosen as a king. Because what was his assessment? See, listen, men judge by outward appearance. God didn't say it is wrong. He said, when you are operating within the man terrain, our earthly things, that has nothing to do with him, God. Outward appearance is very important. That is why we say first impression, what? It creates a lot. Don't go to a place and think that your outward appearance will not speak. Let's say that you come to church here. The moment you enter, you saw my hair looking with some kind of, then I don't know, not to offend him, but there's an appearance that I'm looking. It will tell you, for you to know whether I'm a man of God and I can be a blessing to your life or not. Imagine you go to the hospital, then you meet a nurse whose clothing are very dirty. You understand? And you pass by, you can see that there are certain scents coming out of him or her. And she said, I'm going to treat you. How many of you allow that kind of nurse to treat you? Let me see by hand. You are not going to, at that point, you don't care whether she's the best. But the appearance, do you understand, will even push you away. God said that there's nothing wrong. But when it comes to God and dealing with God's mind, he said that the heart. So he said to the prophet that men look at the outward, but I look at what? The heart. So what we want, you see, you are not the one to justify whether somebody is defiled or not. It is God who justifies that such a person is defiled. He said, when I want to prove or let you know my sight, when I'm marking you by the state of defilement, it is the condition of your heart. It's not what goes into you. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? Yes. See, because of this, the book that we considered as the teachings of wisdom for earthly living on earth in the Bible, Proverbs, was very instructive about the concept of the heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, let's read it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, when we talk of diligence, diligence is an act of what? Careful and conscious or intentional practice. You are being careful, conscious, and intentional. He said you should do that which are, for out of it springs issues of what? Life. Teachings on wisdom. The book that teaches us how to live earthly wisdom says that the place that we should be very diligent with is what? The heart. So you must know that the heart of man is very central and very, very, very important to the nature, or to define the nature or the state of a man. Because out of it, that issues of what? Life. So when we want to look at the issues of life surrounding you, what is coming out, it can tell us the condition of what? The heart. So sometimes the things that you say, the things you do, gives us an indication of the condition of what? Your heart. If you used to love God, you used to be generous, then you stop being generous. You will begin to trace it to what has happened to what? The inner man. Hallelujah. So the heart over here has been a representation of the inner man. Now, why is this very concept that I've just spoken about today, the condition of the heart and this thing, relevant to the living water or relevant to the concept of the anointing? Now, let's go back to the book of John chapter 7, verse 38. This is what Jesus did. You find out that after Jesus had made a correction to the ideology of how a man is defiled, or how we predict the things that comes out of a man, or how we judge a man, he then implicated everybody who believed in him by a statement he made in the book of John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. Now let's read the 38. Listen. He said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow," not even shall, he said, "will flow rivers of what? Living water." This scripture is what made me to go back to speak about the condition of the heart. Jesus is saying that a man who is defiled is a matter of the condition of the heart. And what flows out of that man is adultery, fornication. What are some of the things he mentioned? False testimony, blasphemies. You get it? Now he comes to talk that now those who are mine, who are pure, who have been cleansed, and these are people who believe, because when you believe in me, we will be what? Cleansed. We are cleansed by the believing in what? For also, for unto the heart one believes unto what? Salvation. And by mouth, confessing is what? Made. So the way we are able to attain, or righteousness is imputed to us, that we became pure, is by belief. Now he said that when somebody comes to believe in him, if you want to know that this person is a believer, somebody who believes in me, watch out what comes out of the person. He said, what comes out? Rivers of what? Living water. What does he mean? It means that as you sit here, Jesus has implicated us. I don't know if you understand the statement I made. So you can say everything that you have been born again. Eh? You can say whatever you want to say. Jesus said, as far as salvation is concerned, and those who believe in me, if you want to know them, watch out what comes out of them. It is what? Rivers of what? A living what? Water. Now, what Jesus just established here is that what you should look out for from the inner man of a believer is what? Living water. And comes in forms of what? Rivers. Now let's move into something here. This therefore suggests that even though we are all believers potentially by coming into Christ, our credibility or proof of our claim lies in the visible manifestation of living water coming out in the form of rivers as described. Are you on the same page? So you can make all that. You see, we are all potentially believers. But the proof lies in the manifestation of the heart. The living water we see flowing out of you as rivers. Now listen to what the prophet David said in the book of Psalms chapter 46 verse 4. If you have the Passion Translation, give it to me. If you don't have, give me the New Translation. I'll read the Passion to explain. Listen to what he said. Or something there. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, let me read the Passion Translation. Then you get the context of this one. I'm going to explain something. I said that we are implicated. So, if you want to prove that you are a believer, you are a believer, then we must see what? A river flowing out of you. Now, this scripture I'm going to use to explain that. So follow me. Now, the Passion Translation says, God has constantly flowing rivers whose sparkling streams brings joy and delight to his people. God has. His river flows right through the city of God, Most High, into his holy dwelling what? Places. Listen. Now, God is a God who reached out to his people, as I've said already, in types and forms. There's a constant flowing river from heaven whose sparkling streams means that it breaks into other rivers, bringing joy and delight to God's people. Do you know that every creature on this earth is a people of God? We belong to God. Naturally, our father is what? God. Now, you see that in the Bible, when we're tracing the genealogy of Adam or Jesus Christ in the book of Luke. No, the book of Luke is a representation of Jesus in man. In Matthew, Jesus was presented as a king. In Mark, he was presented as a servant. In the book of Luke, Jesus was presented as what? Man. Okay? The concept of man. Now, you look at the genealogy of Jesus in Genesis, in Matthew, you will not see him being traced to Adam. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus, even in Luke, you find out that he's traced to what? Adam, the son of God. You know what I want to establish? I want to establish that every man naturally is connected to God. The Bible said that there is a river that flows, and the sparkling streams bring joy, which is life, refreshing to the people, God's people. Now watch. It said, this river flows through the city of God, Most High. That is from El Elyon, the corridors of heaven. Through what? His dwelling places. Now the Bible is, where does God dwell? In on the earth over here. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter, you find out that man, the born again believer, is God's what? Dwelling place. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is also manifesting as this river. In other words, the proof that you are a believer, a God's dwelling place, is that the river whose stream makes glad the city of God is seen in you. So when a believer goes to a place, one of the indicators is that you will see the river, the refreshing of God, the presence of God flowing out of him and making everything so. What I would say, wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, is because the dwelling place carries it. And it's you. The Bible says that this very expression is in the heart. Out of the heart shall flow. Rivers of living water. So if you claim that you are a believer, you see, sometimes when we mention this scripture, out of that shall flow, you think that you are excluded. No, you are implicated. Unless you are not a believer. If you are a believer, you are directly what? Implicated. And we are looking for that river that makes the city glad coming out of you. I pray that wherever you go, you will make a city glad. The people will rejoice because you are there. Because that fountain of God that is flowing will flow through you. You are God's dwelling places. And it is out of these dwelling places that this river is contacted. Hallelujah. Amen. So, having established that Jesus' statement that out of our hearts shall flow implicates. Now, what is this living water? Why is the concept living water very important? Now, let's look at the living water. So first of all, I've spoken about the weight of that scripture with regards to our salvation. So every believer, there's a living water in you that must flow and make the city glad. Now, what is a living water? Now, Jesus, or let me put it this way, that anytime you want to draw weight from a statement Jesus has made in the Bible, there are two key things that we have to consider. It's very important. Number one, the people that Jesus is addressing in that very matter is important. It gives idea of the weight of that statement or whatever Jesus is saying. And you know that in the Bible, the most important words in the Bible is Jesus' words. That is why in some versions of the Bible, it is written with what? Red ink to what? Separate it or distinguish it among other words, because that is the most powerful and the most resourceful words in the Bible. Now, so if that is the weight of what Jesus says, then we have to understand that if we want to interpret it, number one, we must look at who he's addressing, and number two, the condition or the situation that led to Jesus making what? That statement. Now, you find out that Jesus made this statement of living water here in John. Now, who was he addressing? In John chapter 7 verse 37, you find out that he was addressing the Jewish community because it was a feast they were celebrating. And this feast is called the Feast of what? The Tabernacle. I'll come to it. So Jesus was addressing what? The Jewish community. Why did Jesus use the word living water at such a situation or at such environment? Jesus used this statement, living water, to intentionally describe the Holy Spirit because it is deeply rooted in the Jewish tradition, one, the scripture, two, and the cultural understanding of the Jewish people with regards to the living water. The word living water is a deeply related or rooted word that is found among their tradition, number one. Are you with me? Number two, their culture. And number three, the scripture. So it's a familiar word, a very important word to them. And we are going to look at how it interplay or it expresses itself in these three things and why Jesus used it. So when we talk about living water, you know what it stands for. It's the Holy Spirit. But why did Jesus use it? He couldn't say that the Holy Spirit, but use the word living water, speaking to the crowd who was listening to him. It's because of how rooted it is in their tradition, in the scripture, and in their culture. And I'm going to explain this to you. Number one, with the Jewish tradition, living water refers to fresh, flowing, pure water. And such water is sourced from spring or stream or river. In their tradition, whenever they want to do something traditionally, and this word living water comes in, it means they are talking or referring to what? A fresh, flowing water, pure water that is sourced from either a spring, a stream, or a river. What is this symbol? It is a symbol of purity. Thus, it is required for ritual cleansing. Anytime they want to conduct a ritual cleansing in the Jewish tradition, the water that they use is referred as what? Living water. Let me give you a scripture. Leviticus chapter 15 verse 13. Let me give you a scripture reference to this. So traditionally, what the water does is what? It's a cleansing, a ritual. That's very powerful. When the Holy Spirit lives in us. You know that the righteousness that was imputed in us was the Spirit of Christ that came to live in us. Are you following me? And it's the same Holy Spirit. And that's what made us righteous. Purity. That's why we are called saints. We became saints as the result of the Spirit that lived in us. So powerful. Oh. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed, this discharge here is talking about infirmity or something that has defiled the person of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his what? Cleansing. Wash his clothes. That is what? Covering. Are you following me? And bathe his body in running water. Can you give me King James? King James said fresh water. Then he shall be what? Clean. So you cannot bathe yourself. Can you get me any other version? ESV or NIV? One of them. You use the word fresh. Running water also means fresh water. In other words, for a cleansing to be completed in the Jewish tradition, it must be done with what? A living water. which is also what? Fresh water. That is when you have finished it. So when Jesus said living water, it woke up something in them with regards to what? Their tradition. That he's referring to something that can clean them internally and externally. Are you with me? God, NIV. Do you see the fresh water there? Standing for what? Living water. Now, with scriptural understanding, the prophetic teaching of the people or the teachings that they have received from the prophet in writings or interpretations present living water to them as the presence of God that dwells among them. The presence of God, the life-giving expression of God among them. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of what? Living. Check together. Living what? Waters. And has weaned themselves. What is that word? How do you call it? No, the next word. So I've been saying this word. I don't know why they didn't use S. To just worry some of us. Systems, broken systems that cannot hold water. So when you talk of systems, it's like a jar or a pot that used to what? Hold water. God said they have refused him the living water, which will give them life, and are going for this, which cannot even hold what? Life, cannot provide life. So in their teachings, their prophetic teachings, or their prophetic teachings by the prophets, they know that anytime they are talking about living water with regards to God, they are talking about the life-giving what, expression of God among them. So when Jesus said, a living water will flow out of people who believe in him, something woke up in them. Are you following me? Now the third thing is the culture. And that was the key thing here. Now, you remember that in the book of John chapter 7 verse 37, the Bible said that it was at a feast that Jesus cried out. Is that not it? That if any of you is thirsty. Now, that feast is the Feast of the Tabernacle. The Feast of the Tabernacle is a Jewish festival which commemorates God's provision in the wilderness. One of the key rituals involved in is drawing. So when they want to celebrate, see, when they're on the wilderness, you remember water came out for them to drink. You remember that water? And that was what led to the Feast of the Tabernacle. So this feast is celebrated to remember God's provision for them throughout the wilderness. Now, one of the rituals they do as a culture, as a way of life, a culture, one of the rituals they do in celebrating this very festival is that they draw water from a pool called the Pool of what? Siloam. S-I-L-O-A-M. Siloam. And pour it on the altar to symbolize three things. So they draw a water from this pool and they will pour it on the altar to signify three things in relation to the living water. Number one, God's provision of water in the desert. There was a water spring out of what? A rock. Fresh water spring out of the rock, and what? They drank. Number two, it's also a prayer to God to ask for his rain and blessing in the coming year. And remember that one key indicator of the anointing is that it's a blessing to what? Other people. Are you following me? Now, the third one, which is very powerful, is that it represents their anticipation of the Messiah's age. Because in the prophet's book, that is the book of Zechariah chapter 14 verse 8, one indicator that the Messiah has come among them, or the Messiah is in town, is that living water will flow from Jerusalem. Are you following me? Are you with me? Let's read it. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 8. Verse Okay.
It is that day that it shall be that living what waters shall flow from what Jerusalem. Half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter is out. So both summer and winter, there shall be what? Living water. So they do this as an anticipation or a representation of the manifestation. And when Messiah come, water will continuously flow from where? Jerusalem. Now Jesus, on the day of that celebration, stood up and cried out to them, declaring himself to be the fulfillment of, number one, the tradition of ritual. Number two, the scriptural teachings that they have received concerning living water as God's very presence among them. And number three, the fulfillment of what? The festival or the feast. Telling them that there is no need to celebrate this feast anymore because what you have been anticipating has now what? Manifest or among you. I am that source of what? That living water. Now, if you drink from me, which is the Holy Spirit into you, then in essence, what is going to happen is that that Holy Spirit in you will flow from within you as you believe in me and to bless others. So the statement Jesus made was at the Feast of the Tabernacle to tell them that there is no need to celebrate this feast anymore. Because the moment I am glorified, what you have been anticipating will come. Because I am the source. When you drink from me, that is when you receive me. Then that source will now come into you and you will also be a source to what? Others. So he said, give me the John chapter 7 verse 37. Watch what he said. If, he said, come to me those that are thirsty. Watch. So, in their tradition, they are not a source. They only go to the source. But Jesus is saying that it goes beyond just being the source or having connection to the source. Now, when you drink that source, now you will become what? An outflow for others to also what? Benefit. So the living water, which is the Holy Spirit that you have received, will now come out of you. So people will not need to pray anymore or expect rain, blessing from anywhere but you. The moment you are there, you are what? A blessing to people. Because now that system of blessing, the very living water that God said you forsaken, is now living in you. And others will benefit. So listen to what he said. On the last day, that the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, is looking for the living water, for whatever reason, let him come to me and drink. Now continue. When you drink, what happens? Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, I pray for you. So you see, the reason why I keep saying that if you are implicated is because the moment you have drunk of Jesus, if Jesus has served you his water, which is the Holy Spirit, you are being filled. When you are thirsty, you are being what? Filled. The Bible says, let the dry land be water. Let the thirsty be what? Be filled. And that filling is the Holy Spirit that has come to fill you. At the well of the of Samaria, with the woman from what? Samaria, the Samaritan woman. He said that, I will give you a water that when you drink, you will thirst no more. And this he spake concerning the Holy Spirit. So if you are here and you have received the Holy Spirit, then it is expected that the verse 38 will be seen. The out of your heart. I said there must flow out of you a river that brings gladness to the city. Your family should be blessed that you are saved. That is why when people are born again and they are truly born again, people around them begin to get blessed. Because there's a river that flows continuously from heaven. And it comes into the dwelling places, which is the temple, which are human beings. And out of them, they flow into the cities of God. They flow into God's people and they bring joy. I pray for you. Some of the joy you will give people is that when you see people sick, oh, Madila Vasaya, there is a river of healing that will flow out of you. And that river of healing will heal them and joy will come. And I said, and joy will come. Just look at the woman with the blood issue for over years. And then this is the man that out of him the river flow. The Bible says when he held the garment of Jesus, that 17 years of issue was ended and the woman was filled with joy. I pray in the name of Jesus. I said there is a fountain flowing. There is a fountain flowing. That is the river from heaven. And it is flowing through the dwelling places, which is we that are sitting here. And we are going to make the city of God with glad tidings. We are going to make them joyful. We are going to be a blessing to them, because out of our heart shall flow streams, shall flow rivers of this living water. When the Holy Spirit begins to flow, Mandinomo Shatakaya, there is healing, there is healing, there is prosperity in it. I declare in the name of Jesus that out of your heart shall flow rivers.
Rivers. Rivers. So now as you sit here, there is something that must flow out of you that will bring purity to the life of people. Something that will flow from that will be the very essence of life God is expecting from them. Oh, my love, Isaiah. Something will flow out of you that will bring the provisions of God unto people. And this is what the anointing does. The power of God comes so strong, expressed as river. See, it's expressed as a river to make these things. So out of the river, when they get hold of the river, the Bible says, it leads me beside the still waters to drink. I pray that you will be still waters that God will lead people to. Refreshing water. Fresh water. Now that we have been implicated, the question is, how do we prove ourselves? Or don't you think we need to prove ourselves? Now, Jesus said that if they meet those who believe in him, they must expect what? Living water flowing as what? Rivers. Is that not it? So how do we redeem ourselves so that people, we don't make claim that we are believers, but out of us are flowing what Jesus said in the book of Matthew? So when people come around us, all they see is blasphemy, all they see is adultery, all they see is fornication, all they see is what? Evil witness. How do we flow that living water that when people come say, I've tasted of the Lord and indeed is good? How do we save ourselves? We do prove ourselves or manifest this claim that Jesus has implicated us with when we become a watered garden. Now follow me very well. There is nobody under the sound of my voice here or by the reason of scripture can have the living water flowing out of them if they don't become a watered garden. Now follow me. If you want the rivers of the living water flow out of you, then you must be a watered garden. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 11. Let's read something. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden. Now, what is the expression of a watered garden? And like a spring of what? Water. Which is what? A spring of water means what? Living water. Remember I said water, living water is a spring. Whose what? Rivers do not what? Fail. So when you become a watered garden, then the springs of your waters will not fail. In other words, the Holy Spirit that is living in you can fail, the outflow can fail when you don't become a watered garden. Now, why would Jesus make that bold statement that those who believe in me shall become what? A spring, the rivers of what? Living will flow from them. Now, let me show you this. Jesus believes that because those who believe in him, who are his disciples, true disciples, are watered gardens just like the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2 verse 10. Now, if you look at the Garden of Eden, the Bible said a river flowed from heaven to water the garden. Are you following? And when the garden was watered, it flowed down, four rivers flowed or parted from what? The garden. So it means that if the garden was not watered first, the water will not come out. There's four river head that flow that was flowing out of the garden was because the garden itself was being what? Watered. So Jesus said that as long as this garden will allow me to water them and they'll become watered, automatically there'll be an outflow. Because the implication of a watered garden is that it is a spring of what? Rivers. So if we want to know, and you know that garden was the presence, or if we want to know that you are being watered by God, you are being watered, the Holy Spirit is having a continuous impact on you, is that we will see the outflow. There is no way you can block it. So Jesus was bold that if you drink of this water and it is in you, this well, this spring, and you allow it to water you, I'm coming there, you will find out that the at the end of the day, you cannot stop it. That is why last week with our meeting with our Father, he said ministry is the outflow of what? Our relationship with God. And what do we really need to work in ministry? The anointing. So there is no way that anointing will flow. Your impact will be seen when you're not a watered garden. What is a watered garden? A watered garden is a metaphoric statement or a sentence, or let me use a word, that conveys the idea of abundant blessing, spiritual vitality, and continual nourishment from God. So when you see in scripture the concept watered garden, it stands for what? Blessing. Abundant what? Blessing. Number two, spiritual vitality means that you are alive. Spiritual aliveness. Number three, continual nourishment from what? God. Let me put it in simple terms. Watered garden is a life that is rich, fruitful, and continually nourished by the Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 12. Watered garden is a life that is fruitful, rich, and continually nourished by the Spirit. So if you are a watered garden, it means that you are continually nourished by the Holy Spirit. What's something here? Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine. Are you seeing it? Provision, abundance. Are you following me? And oil for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls will be as what? Watered garden. Sorry. Yes, watered garden. Well, in fact, this one said, well, what? Watered garden. And they shall sorrow no more at all. He was talking about the people of Israel. So fruitfulness, abundance, rich, and continual nourishment from the Spirit is what we called a watered garden. So if I come around you and you are a watered garden, the indication is that you are rich, you are being fruitful, and you are continually what? Nourished. Now let's go deeper into this word. Therefore, to be a watered garden means you are continually filled and refreshed by God, which makes you live in alignment with Him. Continuously. So if you see somebody having an overflow, an outflow of the Spirit, of the things of God, the indicator is that he's first of all being blessed by it. He's being nourished by it. So as far as the Holy Spirit is nourishing you, and you claim that you are being nourished by the Holy Spirit, there will be an outflow. So an alignment with Him. And anytime you hear the word alignment in the Bible, it is talking about the perfect condition of the heart. Your heart must always be in a perfect condition with God. Do you know why David says, search my heart? Conduct thorough search and see if there is any iniquity, and not take it away. Because the only point that proves that you are being nourished is that your heart is always in perfect alignment. The thing is, when we press you, what will come out of you? That is the condition of your heart. So remember the first scripture we read? Out of the heart. Proverbs said, out of the heart, springs. So when we press you, what will come out? It's a proof. So an alignment. When God nourishes you all the day, every day God is nourishing you. It's continuous nourishing. Then you see that your heart. So the day that you are not nourished, there is the possibility that the condition of your heart can be affected. So the condition of the heart is something that is secured on a daily basis. You must be a water garden. Then out of it, the springs will flow. You want to see the anointing flowing in your life? Check the condition of your heart. Check it. So what happens is that when you are continuously watered, continuously nourished by God on daily basis, uninterrupted flow of the river watering you as the garden, what happens is that you are not only blessed due to you being in alignment with God, but you become a blessing with the living water of the Spirit flowing out to nourish and transform the world around you. Because the idea of the living water coming into you is not only to be filled, but for overflow. Let me prove it to you. You see, there is something that we have hold on as believers that we must believe God. See, when the writer said beyond the upper room, beyond tongue speaking, being filled, there is more to it. It's because the idea of the Spirit filling us is not only to what? Remain in us. The idea is that it goes beyond being filled, but there should be what? Overflow. Let's go back to the same chapter we are reading, John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. Let's read it. I said that when you are being nourished all the time by God, you are not only blessed, but you become a blessing by nourishing and being a blessing to the world around you. Because the idea of being filled, or the idea of you being given the water to drink, is not only to be filled, but overflow. Now let's look at what he said. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, when you thirst, you are filled. What happens to you? You are being what? Filled. Is that not it? Let him come to me and do what? And drink. So the first point is that we are thirsty. We go to Jesus to drink, that will be what? Filled. Is that all? No. He continued in verse 38. Listen to what he said. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what? The living water the person drank. So if indeed you have drunk of Jesus, if the Spirit of God is in you, then there is an expectancy that there will be what? Overflow. And the overflow is when you become a watered garden. So the overflow is that the water that you have drunk will begin to water you. Keep watering you. That is the nourishment. Then now you can no more what? Carry it. So others must also come to what? Benefit from it. So if you think that, and this is where the anointing starts from, and this is what the anointing is. That's why you find out the anointing is interpreted as the presence and the power of God manifesting. So the Holy Spirit in you is the presence. As he nourishes you, the overflow is the anointing that we are talking about. And that's what Jesus said. Out of the heart will flow rivers, the anointing of living what? Water. Life-giving. So when an anointing is flowing out of somebody, what it does is that it gives what? Life. Every expression of the anointing is to produce life. Because it is coming from a source of what? Life. That's why when we preach by the anointing, we introduce life. Jesus said, for this very words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. Because it is springing out from what? The very source of what? Life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, an anointed person doesn't just receive life from God, but becomes a conduit of that life for others. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. We'll close very soon. You're almost done. Rivers of living water. For rivers to flow, it must be a watered garden.
Now, may the God of hope, watch this, do what? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may what? Abound. Give me the NIV. The NIV said that you may what? Overflow in the hope by the what? Power of the Holy Spirit. So the life, the anointed life, is not a life that has only been what? Been filled. So, an anointed person does not just receive life from God. That is the Holy Spirit. But becomes a conduit that life moves out for others. Do you see the overflow over there? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may what? Overflow. You see, the overflow is may. The filling there, it will come. But the overflow is what? May. Because you must become what? A watered garden for the overflow to what? Take place. So an anointed life is a life of overflow. If you have not seen people being blessed through you, it means that you have not been watered enough. You have not become a watered. See, it's not watering, a watered what? Garden. The moment you become a watered garden, there's going to be an overflow. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power, it is because of the overflow. That's why I said the power of God does not grow. It's the same power. But the difference in the manifestation is because of the what? Overflow here, the presence. So if you see some people that God is using them mightily, and they are making mighty impact in the life of people, is because there is an overflow. They have been watered and watered and watered and watered. Now there's an overflow. So in David's expression, in the book of Psalms chapter 23 verse 5, he said, "My God, my head he has anointed. You have anointed my head with what? Oil. What happened next? My cup runneth out." So David said that my anointed life is an expression of the running over of what? My cup. You see it? Do you see the overflow over there? Where the overflow came from? Anointed. So this video was explaining that the life of the anointed is that there is an overflow of his what? His cup. The vessels are full. And now it has what? Flow. I pray for you. See, that's why we have rivers of living water. Water. It wants to flow out of us, but until we become watered garden. He didn't say a river. I said rivers. That's why I told that the believer has the capacity to what? Manifest in more than one stream of the anointing. And I'm going to mention them because we're going to look at them. So, the anointed life, which is rivers of living water flowing, blessing people, is what I've explained to you today. That you being anointed means that your cup overflows. And you are already implicated. That overflow comes from where? The inner man, the heart. And indeed, Jesus said that if you believe in Him, that thing is a must. It must happen. So if you sit here under the sound of my voice, I want you to know that your justification of being a believer is because there's an overflow. Your cup. And I said your cup will overflow. Your cup will what? Let me wrap up with this. What are these rivers of the living water? When there's an overflow of this living water coming out from a watered garden, what are the manifested rivers that we see? By the teachings of our father, Apostle Joseph Minta, he gave us seven. And that is what I'm going to dwell on in our next services on the matter of the streams of the anointing. I'm just going to mention them, then we'll wrap up. Number one. When there is an overflow in the life of a person as a result of the living water, one of the rivers or one of the streams that comes out is the preaching anointing. Write it down. Number two, teaching anointing. Number three, healing anointing. Number four, deliverance anointing. They are all overflow. When you see these people
manifesting this is an overflow of being watered. How many have I mentioned? Number 5, prophetic anointing. Number 6, prosperity anointing. Very important. It's an overflow. When you see a believer prospering, it's an indication of what? Overflow. See, so if you want prosperity, you want to catch the prosperity anointing, then you have to understand you have to be a watered garden. When you see that, it should flow. The last one is worship and atmosphere creating anointing. It's an art of overflow. This is where you understand why people like Theophilo Sunday insist on the cave of Adullam. Because the more they spend time in the presence of God and God is watering them and they become watered garden when they come. So if I've listened to him very well, tell that whatever he does on the stage is as what he has done in the secret place with what? God. It's just an overflow. When you're able to create an atmosphere, worship and create an atmosphere for the move of God, it's a sign of what? Overflow. If you have seen any of these 7 things manifest in your life, then we can say that you are a watered garden. You are a watered garden. There's an overflow. You are now reflecting the implication that Jesus implicated you. You have vindicated yourself. That indeed you are a true believer. You are a true believer because you are anointed to preach. You are anointed in your teaching. You are the anointing flows to manifest deliverance in the life of people. Brings healing to people. Prosperity is seen on you. Wherever you are, favor, manifestations of the signs of prosperity. Look at it. There is, you have become a conduit of prophecy. Prophetic streams are flowing out of you. Wherever you are, you create an atmosphere for God's presence. God is there. Wherever you are, God is there. So wherever 2 or more are gathered, because of the overflow. It's my prayer for you that you would reflect, as Jesus said, out of their heart to flow. Your heart must begin to flow. Your heart must begin to flow. If you are here, ask yourself, what is coming out of my heart? Is he a living water? Is he a life-giving river? Because that river that must flow out of you is a living water, a life-giving. I pray for you that you will flow that water. See, you will not make those statements that people make, that and at the end of the day, what come out of you, it's nothing to do with nyamesum. And that you'll be that deceiving yourself. I pray that you will not become like the Pharisees that Jesus has to make an example of them. That they are blind because they think that their outward, their religious practices is what makes them having a standing, an alignment with God. But Jesus said that an alignment with God and being in alignment with God has nothing to do with your outward activity, but the condition of your heart. And if you are a believer, your condition of your heart is that it produces life-giving water, river. I pray that today, out of you, let healing flow. Let healing flow. May you become a healing conduit to the souls of man. I pray that out of you, deliverance will flow. Who is being bound in your family? Who is being held captive in your class? Who is being held captive in the lecture hall at your workplace? I pray for you. Because of your presence in the name of Jesus, let the captive be set free. Because out of your heart shall flow that stream of what? Deliverance. I pray that prosperity will be the identity of you. David said, thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let the overflow of the anointing on your life manifest as prosperity. You will never lack in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh a man prosperous and added no sorrow. I declare that in the name of Jesus, you will prosper because it's a sign that you are being watered. The Bible said that you shall be like the spring, like a watered gardener, like a spring of water whose rivers never fail. Those rivers never fail. Your rivers will never fail. The streams of anointing will never fail. It will flow through you in the name of Jesus. And if this is your expectancy, I want you to rise on your feet and begin to pray. As David said, Lord, search my heart and do a diligent search. And Lord, water me, nourish me.
pray for the nourishment of the heaven. Let me be a watered garden. Anything that will cease the flow of the river of heaven, watering my life, Lord, I pray, help me to escape them. Help me to escape them. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray. Maledina kapa, lo no mosaya. Oh, shande brakadine. Oh, radina makaba. Atena makompelesaya. Oh, shanda kadaya. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Water me, oh God, till I become a watered gardener. Water me till I become a watered gardener. Let me be fruitful. Adino shanda kabahaya. Let me be rich, oh Lord. And the Bible said, the richness of all the things of the Spirit. Let there be need, in let there be it that I am being nourished by your richness. And when I am full, oh Lord, let the overflow be seen as the rivers that flows out of me. So you shall say, just as Jesus said, that if you know whom you are talking to, I will give you to drink a river that you will never test. Mande kapranda masonde ayana makapaya yanda bado lene kapande sende inanda kalama kumvesaya orandi rakababo ashende nemele bahasanda adora na makahaya. Out of our belly, out of the innermost of our heart, of ourself, will flow, O God, not adultery and fornication, not false witnesses and blasphemy, but the overflow will be the living water. Oh, you Holy Spirit, oh, you living water, Mandilo Kobo Shande, and out of us, the rivers that will come out shall bring forth deliverance and what wealth, shall bring forth, oh God, illumination and light in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Jesus. I want you to say, Lord, anything that I want to cut off. The people of Israel has committed two sins. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. One of the sins that they have rejected me, who is what? The fountain of living water. I want to say that, Father, anything that I'm doing that reflects me rejecting you, help me out. Help me out, because until that living water waters you and you become a watered garden, there can never be an outflow. Oh, help us, Father, that springs of living water manifesting as rivers will flow out of us. Our life will be a life of overflow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.